Jesus said, "Blessed are the persecuted," and they are suffering big time right now. This is Bible League International, and 19-year-old Aria was beaten by her own father and violated by local authorities. You know what her crime was? Simply that she gave her life to Jesus Christ after leaving radical Islam. They need Bibles in order to endure and persevere. And that's why Truth Network and Bible League are teamed up to send God's Word to 3,500 persecuted believers around the world at $5 a Bible. $100 sends 20. Call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD. Word 800 yes word or give at truthnetwork.com.
This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to Running with Horses, a podcast devoted to inspire you concerning a relationship with Almighty God that empowers you to accomplish things you never thought possible. Shirley Weaver wants to take you there. And now, here's today's episode.
I've learned it's really important to realize that you were born for this time. You were selected. It is in the heart of God for you to be alive right now, not at an earlier point in history, at another time, another place. You were born for this time, specifically situated and placed where you are. And I believe prophetically given the tools that you need to operate as a prophetic believer at this time. And this time is the last days, a biblical expression that means the end of this age, the end of the church age, and the beginning of another age. We've said before, not the end of the world, because the world really is eternal. In other words, everyone will spend eternity somewhere. We believe that you choose to spend eternity in the presence of Almighty God. That's why we're here. So welcome to the podcast, Running with Horses, where the emphasis on this podcast, and really in our book by the same title, really in the whole of our ministry, the emphasis is God's word concerning Israel about the end times, the last days, and especially the way that God intervenes in the lives of his people today, has not passed away. Specifically with power demonstrations. Why would he do that? Well, two really good reasons. Number one, to bless you, to bless me, to bless his people, but also in the heart of God for his glory. You know, John 11, verse 40, Jesus said to Martha, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He had been dead 3 days, was sealed in the tomb. Jesus raised him back to life. That was the setting. I would call that pretty supernatural. I would call that a divine intervention, and so for his glory. You understand, we are blessed, but God's glory is so revealed every time he moves in your behalf, on your behalf, in a power demonstration of his love for you. Don't think that that is rare. It is not rare. But our inclination is not to recognize it or to really even perceive it as it's happening in a way that it's something beyond what we actually engineered. We've said that before, but just to keep it in front of you to know that God wants to move this way in your life. There's more at aclearTrumpet.org, our website, aclearTrumpet.org. So today the question, do we believe that God's word speaks significantly, that means in a particular way, even prophetically, in other words, inspired, inspiration by the Holy Spirit, to the times that you and I are living in. And plus, the role that each person has. Do we believe that each person has a role both for relevance today and with an eternal relevance? And then you'd need to follow that question with, to what degree can you discern what your role is, that you have a role, and what the role that God has given you actually is? Well, first of all, your understanding would have to be based in what you believe about the importance of Israel, including Israel's biblical end time relevance in your life. What does it matter? What does Israel matter concerning you? And your knowledge of Bible prophecy, which, as we've said, is about 1/3 of the Bible. Bible prophecy takes up about 1/3 of the total Bible content. What do you understand about Israel and Bible prophecy will make a big difference in how you understand your role, your end time role, the significance of it, and actually the critical importance that you and I recognize who we are and what we're doing and why. So what about your role in this prophetic time and really in the future, for the future? What is the eternal relevance? And so let me just say something specifically right here to what we've come to know as the millennial generation. That would be anyone born, say, early 1980s to the mid 1990s, 1996, right in that frame there. So you would be maybe age 24, 25, 26, up to 40, 41, 42, you know, just give or take a few years either way. That would be the millennial generation. And if you belong there, more than ever, at this time, look ahead. See what's coming. You have a future that's been carved out for you that is much different. It is not like that of your parents and their parents. Your challenges are vastly different. So just two things here. Don't risk letting your emotions call the shots, okay? Don't be taken captive by your thoughts mentally and spiritually. Take those thoughts captive that would lead you, make you be inclined to turn inward. And I'm going to tell you why right now. So I've learned that God has general and specific words for you. He not only has a word for you that is specific, like a life destiny word, what's in the future, what your role is, but all along the way, more general words that are like a guide, maybe guardrails for you. And so this is the single greatest time in history, I believe, to be alive. The challenges are huge, but God's encouragement for you is greater. Again, if you're in this millennial generation, especially God's eye is on you. Your role is so important. It's part of the day in which we presently live. The culture, the mindset, the worldview. The Lord wants to speak generally and specifically to you in these ways about these things. And how does that happen? I believe it occurs, and by the way, I think it may not have occurred to the degree it should, because this has been absent for various reasons. What do we need? We need mentoring. The Bible word is discipleship, but it's the mentor relationship to the mentee. Basically, it happens in business. There are internships. There are apprenticeships. In so many levels of life, we are mentored, we are trained, and then as we take up positions of knowledge, then we teach and train others, usually younger, doesn't have to be younger, but the mentoring relationship is so important for this end time because you're born for this time. The mentoring actually is one of the exciting things that God allows me to do. And being mentored by those whose faith and knowledge I want to imitate because they imitate Jesus' ministry, being mentored by them is one of the great blessings in my life. So it's ongoing. I am allowed by God to mentor you and others, and God sends to me those that mentor me, even at this point in my life. I believe it's ongoing. I don't think it ever stops being mentored and then mentoring others. Again, the Bible word is making disciples. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and make disciples." It's intentional. His relationship with the inner circle of three, and then 12, and then 70, you know, it was a circle and circles of those being mentored by the Lord Jesus during his ministry here on earth. Those at that time were born for that time, in the same way you are born for this time, for today. It's not a cliche. It's not a buzz phrase. It is a biblical fact, truth, principle. So the thing you want to know is, what is your role? And to answer that question, you know, I find really the number one opposition to really understanding the role, particularly for younger generations, is this obstacle of, I've heard it said this way, you know, what about me? What about me? And just to be blunt, we become so wrapped up in our own lives, our own concerns, some of which are major and big, but some honestly are just petty. They're really silly. They make us look silly, and they make us appear to be immature. I don't think we are. It's just a matter of having someone whose wisdom can point those things out. So as I was saying, I find the number one opposition or obstacle to really understanding the role that you have, that I have, is all those why questions. You know, the details about my personal life that I feel have gone unanswered. For example, why hasn't God answered my prayer about this? Or why doesn't God intervene in my situation? I've obeyed him. I have believed him. Still, he hasn't shown up in my situation. Another one might be, why do I always have to wait? Other people get their needs met, have their prayers answered, but mine always delayed. Why is that? And you know, you kind of get hung there. You get hamstrung there. It's happened to me. I mean, I confess. But once you recognize it, it doesn't have to stay that way. Because the truth is, you need to resolve that you may not get those answers at all, ever. or at least not the way you think those things should be answered. Otherwise, and this is a warning, it's a red flag, your theology might begin to shift along the lines of your personal experience, your personal disappointments and failures, and it's a reversal. You are created in God's image, and you may step away from that magnificent position and demand that God conform to your image. The great and mighty God may be required to dwarf and to fit your theology, the box. He'll have to conform to your experience in your thinking. Oh, you know, 2 Peter speaks to the last days. He said, "Where is the promise of his coming?" And the people said, "Where? Where is the promise of his coming? He said he was coming, yet here we are, still waiting. Nothing has changed. And the implication, of course, in other words, is he isn't coming. He misled us. It is not working. So in that situation that Peter is referring to, the people actually concluded not only that God had not answered them, but also that in the future he would not answer. So present and future, God is no longer answering. And for anyone who believes that he does answer, that he does keep his promise and perform his promises, they are either wrong or worse, lying. That means they are misleading the people. They are deceiving the people. So you see where this is going. You see where it could go. To decide that God does not answer really makes us vulnerable, opens the door to one of the end time marks, and this term is found in 1 Timothy 4, really the apostasy, the great apostasy, the falling away prophesied for the last days. Now, there's always been apostasy. There's always been falling away. But to the degree that we are seeing this falling away now, this is the most far-reaching occurrence. So while God is greater than ever, while the Lord is moving in a mighty way, the corresponding action, because of the increased delusion of the enemy, is that people are taken captive in their thoughts initially, begin to disbelieve God on a personal level, and then become offended. And here comes that great, horrible word, the apostasy. So we are avoiding that because we have wise counselors around us to say, beware, that is the enemy trying to intrigue you, trying to offer you another way. So mentored this way, we realize that you're born for this time. That means you're equipped to withstand the threat and the delusion of the enemy, and you have a role. Hey, no one else can do what you're called to do. That's always true, always been true. But right now, please realize no one can substitute for you. If you call in sick today in the things of the kingdom, they can't call in a substitute teacher. There isn't a substitute for you. You are the one carrying the wisdom that God has for the whole world on some level right now. Now, you may find that hard to believe. I understand that. You're not the only one. There were two examples in the Word that, actually, I love these stories. Esther 4 and Acts 9 tell us about two individuals in the Word, Queen Esther, You remember her story. And of course, Moses, the deliverer of Israel. And both of these, in both of these instances, Esther, Moses, neither could believe, neither one could believe that they were called for such a time as this, or that they could do the really powerful, strong things that God was telling them to do. They just couldn't believe that they, being an ordinary person, could do something that great. But of course, in Esther's case, her uncle Mordecai said, listen, if you don't do this, if you remain silent at this time, and you don't help when you have the chance to help your people, then you may come to find out, or you will come to find out, that you were really born for this time and this occasion, and you stepped away from doing the very thing that would deliver your people. Moses was the same. You know, he was born at a time when the national leader was dealing really treacherously with the people. He was oppressing them, and in the worst was he was killing their babies. The newborns were being murdered. That was the environment Moses was born into. He was one of those newborns. But he was born at that time. God protected him and brought him to maturity, to adulthood, and then he dramatically led millions of people out of captivity. Most people know the story of the exit from Egypt. If they don't even know the Lord, they know that story. An unlikely person was called at that time. Listen, this is some of my favorite content in our book, Running with Horses. It's a devotional book, but it's a discipleship tool that will mentor you. It has an anointing to mentor God's people. It does. I can say that because I've experienced it myself. You know, I've seen it influence the lives of other people. And today, that book is influencing my life, calling me to a higher level, setting the bar just a little higher so that I can rise more and more to the occasion. Without mentoring, without this kind of mentoring, I think the church goes into default mode. You know, it's sort of life as the world lives it. You know, that is the default mode. We can't possibly expect to do what God's word says. Therefore, we'll just step back and accept what comes. Hey, don't do that. Don't do that. The book is available on our website, aclearTrumpet.org, also at amazon.com, and on other outlets online. The focus, of course, is the way we are taught, what our lifestyle looks like when we're carrying the mark of God. So I invite you to take a look at those two websites and check the book out. Let's close in prayer today. Father, we believe that you've called us for this time. And so we are born for this time, like Esther, like Moses, and so many others in the Bible, and even in our present history, there are many examples. God, give us courage. Give us wisdom to do what you say the way you say it. We declare we are determined to hear you and obey you. And we invite you, Father, to move in our lives both overtly, out in the open, and behind the scenes, in a way that causes us, as Jesus said, to believe you to the degree that we see your glory and the rest of the world can see your glory performed in our lives and in the lives of so many. We pray, Father, in the life of your church, let it be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have the mind of Christ. Listen, we have the mind of Christ. We can take those thoughts captive that are contrary to God's word because we have his mind. That means we have his thought life, the thought life of the King.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others. Post about it on social media or leave a rating and review. Don't forget to check out the show notes or visit acleartrumpet.org where you can subscribe to Shirley's email list, download the ministry app, and purchase your very own copy of Shirley's 365-day devotional, Running with Horses. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.